my scripture reading says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. I'm glad you are here in the auditorium today to worship the Lord and to say together, great is the Lord. I'm glad you are listening at this hour, and whether by radio or by computer device, wherever you are today in any part of the United States. I got a few calls during the Sunday school hour of people across America. They want to know what was the call letters where they put the computer on. It's kkmc.com. And you will hear, if you have the proper program, you will hear us at this hour. And so we welcome you. And later on, for those families who are in the Tate Ministry, we also are thankful that you listen to the tapes and that you pass it to somebody else. How grateful we are that our church multiplies in a way that sometimes is not what I dream, is not what I plan. But God has a remarkable way of multiplying the church in different ways. When you are in radio, and because I am in radio for 27 years, you never know who is listening. The last person you think is the person who is listening. I received a letter from the mayor of the city of Lima. Lima, you know, is very high. And he said, I was driving my car, turned the shortwave radio, listened to family radio, listened to the Bible reading, and then came your voice, and I want to say greetings to you. I said, I have it in my life. I better turn to God. You know, amazing. I don't say anything in the program. I don't invite anybody. And God in his power, as you're going to see it today in the meditation for today, he picks his people in a marvelous way. You know, I'm very convinced that when Marconi discovered radio, the Italian famous Marconi discovered radio, that was God's plan for invading the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know who invented the satellite system, but whatever invented the satellite system, again, is God who have programmed these so the whole world will listen. And very soon, I will say in January, anybody in any part of the world can listen to family radio. It is amazing. And I hope the KKMC, I'm doing one radio station, I'm in the air with another radio station, but I hope that all the radio stations who proclaim the gospel may have the money and the resources to get into the satellite system and will be very profitable. I just want to say, I forgot to tell the ushers this, but we have a dinner with, I have a dinner with the deacons, and we have come, not in an official meeting, but in an unofficial, but it's official, nursery. We have come to the understanding that the children are your property, all right? And because are your property, my hands will be completely off from them. But you are welcome to have your children with you here in the service. Nobody going to stop you or throw your children to the window or something like that. The ideal is that from 0, 1, and 2 years old will be in the nursery. And the reason is the children move, you know. They can't have 1 hour still here, and it's very, very difficult. But if you have trained them and you want to train them and you are cautious and you are prudent for the people beside you and for the pastor who speak, you are welcome to have them. And if that's the case, I will say that the back rows will be the proper place to be. So in case the child make some speech, then you move it over there until he's properly older to speak from the pulpit, all right? May God bless you. May you parents, your children are very precious to me, and the last thing this pastor wants is to separate you from your family. One of the deacons mentioned to me, you don't have to run outside to the nursery. There is a crying room right there in the back, and there is a speaker in every room. And when the cameras of TV will roll next year here, we will have TV in every room so that you can see it. And what happened to your husband? He's not here. All right, he's the one who's going to do the television. He got all the cameras and everything ready for us. Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence in the sweet name of Jesus, the great Savior, the great compassionate shepherd of Israel. And Father, I hope that today we get a great lesson from him as he went into an area where it's awful and confronted with the devil itself. But Father, how precious is to see the compassion of Jesus. So help us as a church body to have compassion for those who believe not. Father, we have many people that are in the extended church, whether in radio, in computer, or in tape cassette. And we remember today the Walter Roger family, and we remember the Mr. and Mrs. Lathan in Brooklyn, New York. We remember Sally and Terry Vestals in Carmel Valley. We remember those who are in San Juan Bautista, those who are in Los Altos, in Aptos, those who are in Salinas, who write to us, and they are part of our church extension. And we thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And we pray, Father, that whatever their needs are, you who are the supplier, the God who touch our life and heal our infirmities, you, Father, touch their life and move them on in the gospel and in the kingdom of God. So, Father, I pray that this service will be very profitable for me. That I be careful that as I speak, I listen too, so that I too apply the sermon to my life. And then, Father, I pray for your people and for those who are not your people, that according to your mercy and grace, they too may become to be the people of God. We have missionaries everywhere, Father, in Spain, two of them, one in the north, another in the south. We have one missionary that within a month and few days will go back to Ukraine to teach students that later on will become the leaders in the gospel in Ukraine. Father, we have a remarkable experience with the crisis center here in Morgan Hill and now extending to Gilroy. And we pray for the wisdom, the patience, and the looking up to Jesus for that blessing on this center. And for our brother Ruben Zachert and his wife Irene and Lodi, as they are growing, they feel the pain and they feel the, our brother was sharing with me, the great heavy work, not so much in the study of thy word, but in handling God's people. Oh, Father, help him to know that this will never end until we come to an end of our life. But what a precious thing is to be of comfort to those who need comfort. And Father, I have the news that our friend and our brother, Ed Reilly, is at the last moments in his life. And I have talked to the family. And Father, this is a very difficult situation for his wife, Janine. And we pray that you bless her, you bless his son, Brian. And Lord, he has been use of the gospel. He was a man who loved you, was a man who prayed with me right here where nothing was here except an abandoned building. Father, he prayed with me that the Lord will open the door for us to be in this place. And 2 or 3 years later, we were able to purchase the property. We thank you, Father, for his life. And we pray that these moments be peaceful and be in the hands of the mighty God. Now, Father, we pray that as we sit down here and worship you and love you, our mind will be off from our daily work, off from our project, and on Jesus. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give him the glory and the honor, thanking you for the beauty of giving. Thank you for the offering. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero at the moment of the offertory in Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill. I'd like just to talk to you about simply the opportunity to come this Wednesday night. We're going to have a 7:30 p.m. a Thanksgiving service. And Father, we want to say great things about the Lord Jesus. We want to say great things about our life because he has blessed us. And I want you to be a part of it. If it's possible for you to come, just come in and say, Lord, we are here to thank you. It will be a true Thanksgiving service, informal, but full of the whole heart, because whatever we have and whatever we are is because of him. I hope it can be done. If not, you can request the tape to our church office, 778-2595, 778-2595, and the area code is 408. God bless you. Let us join the service in progress.
wonderful Savior. Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 734. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And when he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And he began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he has come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Blessed is the word of God. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Father, we thank you that you have delivered us from the power of darkness, from the evil one, out of the house of bondage of sin and death, and by your mercy brought us into the kingdom of your dear Son, who redeemed us by his blood so that our sins are forgiven. We are amazed by him who created all things and who secured this great salvation for us at such great cost. Strengthen us that we may walk in obedience as he walked. We can boast of nothing except boast in our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We pray that you would bless your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, who desires only to serve you, Lord, that as he preaches the gospel today, here and on the radio, that if there would be some who don't know you yet, that they will now hear, that you would give them the ears of faith by the creative power of your word and deliver them from the power of darkness, that they may walk in the light. We anticipate now, Father, the hearing of the good news, that we may rejoice in it. This we ask in Jesus' name, who alone is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And I just want to, before the meditation this morning, to share two announcements. And one is that the pastor is preparing a weekly email, just a letter of encouragement for Christians. And if you, first of all, if you are new here, we encourage you to take one section of the church bulletin in this fashion and give me your name and address and so on so that I can thank the Lord that you are here and thank you. And for those who have email service, those who have an email address, will you do that as well so that you receive automatically, will save the church a lot of money, they send a letter by mail, that they send a letter by email. And so I hope for every Monday to just bring to you a letter that will encourage you during the week. I learned this from one of our listeners in Carmel who sent me a copy of a letter of a pastor in Los Gatos who sent to all his members just a brief paragraph of encouragement like the happening. And so I think it will be proper for me to do so. I love to give you just a sprinkle of how wonderful God's grace. And later on, you give me the paper to me, or you give the paper to one of the ushers and come to me. And so I can put it on there. And then every Monday, you can look forward to have just a letter of encouragement, just a note of encouragement to you. The second announcement is that this Wednesday will not be prayer meeting, but I will be a Thanksgiving service. And the main participants is you. I want you to come and to say, Lord, thank you. And Pastor will briefly speak on Ephesians 5, verse 19 and verse 20, where the Bible commands us to be thankful daily for the things that we have received. And certainly not only we have received salvation from the Lord, but we have received many, many, many other things. And it will be proper to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And thirdly is that I ask you to pray for Raquel as she tomorrow will start a trip to Argentina. My wife will go and visit the family and especially her brother who are going to celebrate 50 years of marriage. This is a very special occasion. She will be there for 3 weeks and it's a long trip. It's a faraway country, 11,000 miles away from here. And so it takes about 24 hours fly. I go to New York, and from New York, wait a little, and then take the fly all straight 11 hours without stop to Buenos Aires. So I ask you to pray there will be no suicidal pilots in any of the planes, of the American planes. All right. Now let's turn to the meditation of God's Word, please. Father, we thank you that you gave us a Bible, and within the Bible, you gave us stories. Really stories of what Jesus has done. I pray for myself that I be able to describe the drama of Mark chapter 5. And when all is done, I pray that the people of God will respond to God. In Jesus, I pray and I thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Now, here is a question for your trivia hounds. Who was the first missionary Jesus ever sent? Now think. Who was the first missionary Jesus ever sent? Think. Someone well trained, right? Someone with an intimate relationship with Christ? A devoted follower of Jesus? Perhaps a close disciple of Jesus. Perhaps one with a true knowledge of a scripture and sacrifice. Wouldn't that be the proper person? Now, let me give you a hint. To find him, don't go to the Great Commission. Remember in Matthew 28, verse 19, where all the disciples are there, and Jesus said, go ye therefore. So to find him, the first missionary, don't go over there. Don't turn to the names of the apostles. This great missionary was not there. How about the 24 disciples who Jesus sent? Remember? No, sorry, wrong again. Let's look in the epistles and see if something is mentioned. When the book of Acts, wrong again. Long before Paul picked up a pen, this preacher was already at work in Palestine. Where did Jesus go to pick up a missionary? When a missionary, Family Radio requested to a missionary who was born in Oregon and went to Peru and Ecuador, a veteran missionary was at that time, when Family Radio requested to this missionary to select a man who will speak more than one language for radio, he came to a seminary, and I was in the seminary, and I was the man that he picked up. But I thought to myself, where did Jesus go to find his first missionary? You don't want to believe it. He went to a cemetery. You don't want to believe it, but he went to a cemetery. Who was the first ambassador commissioned for the task of preaching the gospel? You are not going to believe this. A lunatic. A guy who was really off. He was the first missionary. The man that Jesus sent out was a madman turned into a missionary. Open your Bible, please, and let's read part of this story. The story is found in the fifth chapter of Mark's Gospel. The first missionary is right here. We're going to read verses 2 to 5. The Bible says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. When Jesus go out of the boat, instantaneously a man with an evil spirit came to him from the burial caves. That's in New English, what you have in New King James and in the King James Bible. Verse 3. This man lives in the caves, and no one can tie him up, not even with a chain. Verse 4. Many times people have used chains to tie the man's hand and feet, but he always broke them off. No one was strong enough to control him. Now, this is the man Jesus picked up to be the first missionary. Verse 5. Day and night, he would wander around the burial caves and on the hills, screaming and cutting himself with the stones. Mark Gospel, chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the man your mom told you to avoid when you go in the street. If you see a guy like that, run away. He is the fellow the police very often looks up. He is a deranged man who stalks neighbors and murders families. This is the face that fills the screens during the evening news and television. And this is the first missionary of the church. Palestine, the country of Palestine, didn't know what to do with him. The people don't know what to do with him. They restrained him, but he broke the chains of the Bible. He ripped off the clothes. He lived in caves. He cut himself with rocks. He was a rabid coyote on the loose. That's what he was. A menace to society. That's what this man was. Of absolute no good to anyone. You know something? In the society in which this man lived, No one has a place for him except Jesus. The society said this guy is no good, and they want to chain him up, except Jesus. Except Jesus. Even today, the best that modern medicine could offer such a man is medication and expensive treatment. Maybe with much time and professional help, such destructive behavior could be curtailed. But you know something? I call Bethesda Hospital in Washington, and I said, I have a man like this, just like the Bible said. What do I do with him? You know what they said to me? Call the police. There's nothing we can do. We'll take years of treatment and professional treatment to help him. Years of treatment. Ladies and gentlemen, with Jesus took seconds. You hear it in the reading. With Jesus took seconds. The encounter of this man with Jesus was explosive. The disciples bought beach near a graveyard and a herd of pigs. You heard this story that Jesus was right there with the boat. When you talk about graveyard and pigs in a Palestine, in America will mean nothing. But in Palestine, both are ritually and culturally unclean for Jewish people. If a Jew visits the cemetery, will have to wait 7 days before he sees his wife. Remember the book of Leviticus? Going to a cemetery is something bad. And seeing a pig is horrible. And according to the Jewish law, this is unbelievable. Jesus steps out of the boat, and a crazy man is stormed out of the cavern. Look at verse 2 again. When Jesus go out of the boat, instantly a man with an evil spirit came to him from the burial caves. You see that? Instantaneously, as Jesus get out of the boat, as the boat beaches on that shore, Jesus get out of the boat, and the first person that comes to him like crazy is this man, this lunatic. The disciples don't know what to do about it. They chicken out to begin with, and then they went back into the boat. They were horrified, but Jesus was not. If we read the next five verses carefully, they provide a rare privilege for us. They provide a glimpse into the unseen warfare. Many of you Christians who know the Bible knows in Ephesians chapter 6 that the Bible tells us that our war is not against your boss tomorrow morning. It's not between a husband and a wife. It is between the unseen evil spirits. And if you are not familiar with that, I encourage you to read in your home Ephesians chapter 6, the first 12 verses, and you will see how clearly it is. But now, in this story, we're going to see a glimpse into the unseen warfare of the evil and the good. For just a few minutes, the invisible conflict becomes visible. And we are offered a position overlooking the battlefield. Think yourself, you're on the top of the hill, and right here in the valley is a battlefield. And here is the evil forces of Satan and the good forces of God. They're going to clash head on. And we're going to watch it. Now, if you look in verse 8, Jesus spoke first. In verse 8, the Bible said, for he said to him, past tense. So that means that verse is prior to verse 7. For he said, said the scripture to him, come out of the man, evil spirit, or unclean spirit. That's what Jesus said. Now, when they heard that, when the evil spirits inside the man heard Jesus, God, saying, come out, out of the man, evil spirits or unclean spirits. When they heard that, look what they say in verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Wow. An evil spirit said to Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Jesus wants the man back. See, they said to Jesus, what do you want, Jesus? You saw the question in verse 7? What do you want from us? I want the man back. This is God, the Most High God, calling. And when God is calling, that's what he does. I want this man back to me. And he goes right to the heart of the man where the evil spirit sits. And he says, I want you back to me. That's how salvation comes. Jesus wants the man back. The demons muster no challenge to Jesus. They offer no threat to Jesus. They have heard the voice before. When God demands, the demons have only one response. They plead. When God calls somebody from the darkness of sin into salvation, when God calls, the only answer is the demons pleading. Because nobody can stop God. In theology, we call it irresistible grace. But in reality is when God calls, he gets what he calls. They beg Jesus again and again to send them out into another area. The King James said another country means another area. Jesus and Holmes, when the rest of God wrote, he humbled everybody in Greece. Is that an encouraging thought for you believers? When you are in the presence of a drug addict, the very presence of God will humble the drug addict. The demon thought they had dominated this man. But they cower before God. They cower before God. The Bible said that he has a legion. Legion is a Greek word for more than 1,000. They have a legion of demons. They beg for mercy on Jesus. His word reduced them to weakness. And the demons who possess this man, and the demons who control this man, and the demons who operate this man as they please, now they are begging to Jesus, and they are saying, please, don't kill us. Send us to some place. The demons were feeling safer in a herd of pigs than in the presence of God. The demons asked to be sent into the swine. And you know what? Jesus consents. And 2,000 possessed pigs hurled themselves into the sea. Let me read it for you so that you don't think I'm dreaming. Verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13 in Mark chapter 5. I don't know why some people don't make a movie out of this. It's just fantastic. Also, he begged him earnestly, verse 10, that he will not send them out of the country or out of the area. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him. Can you understand? Satan begging God. Now, Satan will not beg you. Satan will not beg me. Those people who said, we cast demons out of people, they are all baloney. It's not true. And I explain to you in a minute. You and I cannot cast any demon, but God can. And so, look at what happened in verse 11. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. Verse 12. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Verse 13. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit, the evil spirit, went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. You know, I looked into the scripture. Do you, when you read the scripture, have a little piece of paper and questions comes into my head. Now, all of this happened. Cannot take place in 1 minute. Took place in a few minutes. And I say myself, where are the disciples? The disciples do nothing. While Jesus fight head on with the devil, the followers just stare from far away. They don't know anything else to do. What are you going to do? Here is the master, head on with the devil, head on pressing on. And here are his followers, and they're all watching the game. Can you relate to this? Are you watching a world out of control and don't know what to do? And so, my counsel to you is this. Do what the disciples did. When the fighting is fierce, stand back and let the Father of light fight for you. There are things, beloved, that we have no control. Maybe it's an individual in your work. Maybe it's a business acquaintance. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's something. And the Bible teaches here that when the fight is head on with the devil, you stand back and you let Jesus handle the devil. God wants us to focus our eye on him and not on the devil. What good does it to you to focus on the storm? Why study the enemy? We won't defeat him. Only God will. The disciples can destroy Satan. Neither you, but God can. But God can. And that's what Jesus did with these people. As the stunned disciples look on, Jesus goes into action and God delivers the lunatic. Pigs are embodied by demons, and a disciple is made in a cemetery. Ladies and gentlemen, a great disciple is made in a cemetery, is free from the devil at the call of God, and now the devil is run into the sea, and he's free. A disciple is made in the cemetery. What a story. You think this is first page in the newspaper in New York. But wait a minute, there's more to it. If you think the reactions of the demons is bizarre. Wait until you see the response of the people. I know in a Bible reading from here, it's done fast. When I read a passage like this, I take a day. And I read a verse, and I look on it, and I say, what the happened? And I got my Greek on the other side, and I look for a word, for a verb that tells me what happened. And the best of the story is coming. It is not over yet. If you think the reaction of the demons is bizarre, now you need to look at the people. See, the big herds run to the city and told everyone what they have seen. The guy who controlled the pigs, the guy who, the herder man, the man who has all these pigs, he ran into the city and he told the people, you won't believe what happened. I had 2,000 pigs for sale and they're gone. Why? He said, well, a guy came in and he did boom, 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 shoom, the whole pigs went out. And all the demons in the area are clean. The area is clean. Remember the guy who used to cut his wrist with the stones and he went, like he's okay. What happened? Well, I don't know what happened. A man said, out! And the whole thing went away. Now, you think the whole town will come down to see the man? Please, move your Bible to Mark 5. Verses 15 to 17, you will not believe what you're going to read now. Look at what happened. Verse 15. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to have the many evil spirits sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were frightened. Listen, is that crazy? Now, that man, when he comes out with his eyes out, and like this, well, you'll be afraid. Where is Anthony? I miss Anthony today. See, I always talk to Anthony. Oh, all right, here. You change places so I can not look for you. All right. See, you will be afraid. But now the man is eating, seeing, and saying, hey, hi, everybody, have a cup of coffee. And they were crazy. You know, when you read the Bible, be ready for something like this. Verse 16, the people who saw these told the others what happened to the man who had the demons living in him. And they told about the pigs. And now you think that everybody, at least I thought, and sometimes I think the same thing here. This is a good lesson for me. I don't know for you, but for me. This is a lesson for Pastor Otero. I thought that because I teach the Bible the best I can, with the people will run into the city like crazy. Into this church. But look at verse 17. The people began to beg Jesus to do what? To leave the area. Hey, guy, you are God. We don't want you. Get out of here. Looks like the Supreme Court of the United States. Looks like the Congress of the United States. Looks like our president. He used God's name when it's convenient, and then the rest of the time, he does what he wants to. Isn't no something? You think if you see Jesus in action, and if you see the Son of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God in action, you will grab him. But they say, get out of here. And I thought to myself, oh, you don't know the relief I have. My blood pressure came down to 60. Oh, beautiful. I said, I'm not responsible to draw the people. I knew that, but you know, you got into the picture that why the church is not growing. That was in my head for a long time. Why the church is not growing? I'm not responsible for that. As long as I preach the word, I'm not responsible for it. Jesus was there. Jesus was right there. And you think everybody will come and say, oh, my master. No, they said, get out of here. We don't want you. What they did, the people began to beg Jesus to leave the area. You mean the people asked Jesus to leave? That's right, sir. Rather than thank him, they dismiss him. You get out of here, they said. What will cause, I thought to myself, what will cause people to do such a thing? What will cause people to say, I don't want to hear the word of God? Well, that's a good question. What will cause people to be crazy and lunatic for the presence of God? In this way, what will cause people to prefer drunkenness and misery over sobriety? Think in that way. What will cause a church to prefer a slumber over revival? What will cause a nation to prefer a slavery over freedom? What will cause people to prefer yesterday's traditions over today's leaving God's presence? The answer is this: we are afraid to change. We are afraid to change. The fear of change. Change is hard work. It's easier to follow the same old path than to move out into an uncharted territory. So the people dismiss Jesus. And since Jesus never goes where he is not invited, he stepped back into the boat. Look at verse 18. Jesus did not force the situation. You know that? Look at verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. He got into the boat. See, unless God call you and move you, you do not make the call. And so Jesus moved away. As Jesus was getting into the boat, back into the boat, the man who was freed from the demons begged him to go with Jesus. Look at verse 18. And he, being demon-possessed, begged him that he might go with Jesus. But Jesus don't let it. Look at verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him. What? See, this story is serious. What? Jesus, here is the brand new disciple. He needs you. He needs to learn all the laws of theology. He needs to learn everything that's in the Bible so that he can be a great witness. Jesus, what are you doing? He say, no. A strange way to treat a new believer, don't you think? Unless somebody become a believer, say, Pastor, I see you. Say, no, don't see me anymore. Go to your home and tell everybody. Why wouldn't Jesus take him along? You know why? Jesus had greater plans for him. And my friend, when one of our plans fail, really no fail, there are no failing, Jesus had greater plans for you. He said to the man, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Look at verse 19. It's clear in verse 19. He said, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion of you. Now tell everybody of the mercy of God. Will you go home and do that to your people? There it is. The commissioning of the first missionary. 1 minute he was insane, the next was Christ's missionary. Now, no training, no teaching. All he knew was that Jesus could scare hell out of hell. That's the only thing he knew. And apparently, that was enough. But even more surprising that the man who was sent is the fact that anyone was sent. Look at the compassion of God. He sent people to tell you about God. Is not that the compassion of God? I wouldn't have a missionary to some people who had just given me the boots and said, get out of here. I'd maybe send a plague if there's no missionary. But Christ did not respond in that way. He still sent a message to the unworthy. And he still uses the unworthy as messengers. You understand? After all, I have to look who is listening to me. All of you are unworthy. And after all, you have to know who is speaking to you. An unworthy person. We're all unworthy. And the only reason why we are worthy is because one day, I don't know where in your case, I know where in my case, one day God came to the hell of your life and said, come in, I want you. And you cannot resist it. And you fall into his hand. That's what we are saved, brother and sister. We are saved because the mercies of God. He calls you and said, come in. Now, the obvious question. If I said to you today, will you come to Jesus? What do? Will you come to Jesus or you ask me to go away? Will you come to Jesus or you run away from Jesus? That's the story of life. When God calls, what are you going to do? Will you come to Jesus and say, yes, Lord? Remember Thomas? He said, my Lord and my God. Will you come to Jesus like that? Or you said, get out of here with that message, Pastor. We don't want to be pressed and persuaded. We don't want sermons so heavy that we have to react to it. What do? Young people, it's good to turn to the Lord yawn. Are you a member of a local church? Here is a church who said, come. We'd love to have you. We'll provide for you a way to be a member of our church. Are you baptized? If you have not been baptized, here is a church that will gladly baptize you. What do you do if I invite you? Will you run away? Or will you come? May God richly bless you, that he may call you, and that you may respond. And if you respond, it's only one way. We saw it today. It's not Calvinistic preaching. It's not this or the other. It's only one way. It's only one way. God has to make the call. God has to make and take you out of hell. That's what we are when we are not believers. Out of hell. We are lunatics. We all are like that man. You know, that man is a picture of all of us when we were without Christ. And now we are in Christ because we hear the call. He called me and enabled me. He don't say, well, will you like to come? He said, come out of them and gone. Have God done this in your life? Come unto me and you turn like a baby. If not, you know what the reaction is? It's a reaction of the people. I understand it. You don't know the relief that came to me. Mr. Kasanjan, 15 years ago, told me and my wife in a dinner, the church is going to be large, but just small. I know what he means. When we preach like that, when we confront people with the truth, I tell you, they run away or they come in. May God make sure to come in when I call you later. God bless you. Service. Before I pray, I want to make a call clear as can be. There are some of you who are believers for a long time, and you have not been baptized. And it's my fault. It's not your fault. So as I said in the business meeting, I apologize, but I don't have to apologize anymore. So will you make your way here forward? Say, Pastor, I'm a believer. Only you know you're a believer. And so you say, I'm a believer. I never have been baptized. I want to talk to the deacons and tell them I believe in the Lord Jesus and I want to schedule a baptism. Will you come, please? If you say, Pastor, here's my hand. I want. Is anybody here who wants to say, yes, sir, I listen to the gospel. The gospel's in my heart. Already have it. Is anybody that have not been baptized that want to said to us, yes, I'm a believer? Of course, I want to ask you a few questions. And of course, the board is going to ask you a few questions. And upon your testimony, we will baptize you. All right, is anybody here? All right, is anybody here without church membership? And you said, boy, this church preaches the gospel. And I like to apply for a church membership. There's a little process the deacon will explain to you. But I like to apply for church membership here. This is a church that I like to have my family here. The gospel of mercy and compassion is preached from the scripture. I like to be a member here. Maybe you're attending here for a long time. You don't have to be a member, but it's good to have a home church. Where you are protected. Is anybody here that wants to say, Pastor, I want to, with my family, to be a member here? All right? Is anybody who said, Pastor, I was the lunatic, but I'm no longer the lunatic. Jesus called me. Is anybody can say that? Jesus called me. Praise God. All right? Praise God, sir. All right. Thank you, Father, for your power. And thank you, Father, that you and thee call us unto salvation. What a clear picture we saw today of the compassion of Jesus and the love of Jesus. Oh, help us, oh God. Oh, help us, oh God, to do what Jesus said. Go and tell your family. Help us to tell our family about Jesus. Help us to tell our neighbors about Jesus. Help us to tell others about Jesus. And Jesus alone. We don't have to know anything else. Just Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help me as a pastor to preach him and him alone. And when all is done, we're going to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.